Last time we looked at 1 John, I want to get you to go ahead and be turning in 1 John to chapter 3. We looked at the topic of sin and the child of God, and we saw there that John describes for us two kinds of people. One kind of people that he described are those who continuously practice sin, and therefore, as he says, are of the devil. The other type of people are those that he says are born of God. And they are those who do not continuously practice sin. John continues in what we're going to look at tonight to illustrate the children of God and the children of devil. And he presents to us two criteria by which we distinguish who the children of God are. He says that they are those who practice righteousness and brotherly love. And both of these have been introduced in an earlier epistle. If you go back to 1 John, or the earlier part of this epistle, to 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, there we find John telling us that brotherly love is necessary if we are to abide in the light. And he also tells us in chapter 2 and verse 29, and then later in this chapter, in verse 7 of chapter 3, that practicing righteousness is connected with being born of God. So here we have those two concepts, those two criteria that define who the child of God is. One who practices righteousness and one who has brotherly love. But it's this topic of brotherly love that John expounds upon throughout the rest of this epistle. He is known as the Apostle of Love. And so he talks about over and over again how we are to love one another. And what I want us to look at tonight is a topic that we see here, the necessity of brotherly love. It's important that we love one another. And we've seen what Jesus has said in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. This is his desire for each of us. And when we love each other the way God wants us to love each other, he says the world will know that we belong to him. They will know, a song that our young people used to sing, they will know we are Christians by our love. Or another song, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with chains that cannot be broken, or cords, some translators, some versions of the song say, bind us together with love. Love is the thing that God uses to show his people, show the world what his people really are made of. So tonight, what I want us to see are the reasons that John gives to us as to why we must love one another. And one of the first reasons that we want to notice is what he brings out here in beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 13. And that is that it distinguishes us as children of God. Here's the way John puts it. He says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. The New King James uses the word manifest. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, and the one who does not love his brother, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. So he begins by telling us here that there are two things that are, as the New King James says, that are manifest. The New American Standard says are obvious. And these two things illustrate the difference between those who are God's children and those who are the devil's children. Now this word manifest, it means to make obvious, to make something plain, to make something evident. And what are the two things? Well, John breaks it out. The two things that clearly demonstrate whether or not a person is a child of God, he says, is First of all, that person practices righteousness. And secondly, that person loves his or her brethren. Well, then, if that's true, the opposite of that would be true of those who are children of the devil. And that is that they do not practice righteousness and that they do not love their brethren. They don't practice brotherly love. Now, if you'll notice verse 11, he says that this command is not anything new. As a matter of fact, he says, this message, this command, we have had heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Well, from the beginning goes all the way back to the beginning of the gospel. It goes back to the days when our Lord spoke these words to His own servants, His disciples. What I just shared with you from John chapter 13, there at the Last Supper on that fateful evening. By this will all men know that you are My disciples. What's the command? That you shall love one another, even as I have loved you. Now earlier, if you go all the way back to the book of Leviticus, it is that a man shall love his neighbor even as he loves himself. But then Jesus elevated that when the lawyer came to him and asked him the question, what is the great commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus elevated it. He says, you shall love one another even as I have loved you. A sacrificial love, a giving love, a love that is willing to do for the other person even when it's not easy. That's what He wants us to do. And this is what manifests us, makes us obvious to the world, so that the world will know that we are children of God. It is by our love for one another. But that being said, one of the things that we need to take note of is this. It is going to cause conflict in the world. If we are doing what God wants us to do, it will be that which brings conflict between us and those who do not love as they should. In verse 13, here's what John says. Not as Cain. He says we are to love one another, verse 12. But then he says, not as Cain. Well, what is it about Cain? He says, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. John presents to us a distinction between those who love God and those who are born of God, who are children of God, and those who are children of the devil. And he says it's just like Cain, who murdered his own brother Abel. He tells us that Cain was of the wicked one. He tells us also that that murder was sparked by a contrast between the two brothers' works. Cain's deeds were evil. Abel's deeds were righteous, which meant that Cain could not accept his brother because he didn't like his brother's works, because they were good works. So the point in all of this is that it distinguishes us. It sets us apart. And yet at the same time, it helps us to understand something. Don't be surprised if the world hates you in the same way that Cain hated his brother, because he didn't like his brother's works. He didn't like his brother's deeds. He hated what his brother was doing. And yet Jesus told his own disciples that they were to expect the same thing in their lives. And it shouldn't be any different for us either. If you go back to what John writes in John chapter 15, still at the Last Supper, shortly after Jesus has talked about being the vine and they are the branches, he says here, if you'll notice in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. When we follow the teachings of Jesus, especially his command to love one another, it soon becomes evident or manifest that we are different from the world. We're seeing that more and more today in our society. There is becoming a greater distance between those who are children of God and those who are children of the world. And that difference leads to jealousy, and it also leads to unpleasant consequences, which Christians face on a daily basis around the world. So here's the second part of where we're going tonight. What is it that causes us to want to love one another? If loving one another and practicing righteousness is going to cause us to be at enmity with the world, going to cause us to be at odds with those who are a part of the world, then why should we continue down a road knowing where that road leads as far as our relationship with those around us? Well, here's the way John puts it. If you'll notice verse 14 of this same chapter, John has something to say about that. He puts it this way. He says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death, and everyone who hates his brother," these are strong words, "everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." When we love as our Lord loved, and as John is commanding us to love, then it signifies something for each of us. It signifies that we have passed out of what he calls death into life. It is a mark of true conversion in our lives. Brotherly love is certainly not the only indicator. We can go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verses 22 and 23 and see that the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives, that there should be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, all of those things. But brotherly love is one of the indicators, and love for the brethren is a positive sign that true conversion has taken place in our lives if we have love one for another. But lack of that love is an ominous sign. It is a sign, according to what John says, that we abide in death. If you go back to 1 John chapter 2, there is a point that John makes here I would like to draw your attention to. Verse 9 and then verse 11. He says, "The one who says that he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now." And then verse 11, "The one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." He says, the one who hates his brother, that Christian who hates a fellow Christian, that Christian who is unwilling to resolve issues with a fellow Christian, who can't stand to be around that individual, is in darkness. And hating one's brother, coming back to our text, according to what John says now, makes a person a murderer, just like Cain. Oh, that person may not go through the physical action of carrying it out, but in their mind, they have completely distanced themselves and so destroyed a relationship that may have existed as to treat that other individual as if they don't even matter. And that individual who hates a brother or a sister to that extent, according to John, does not possess eternal life. And brethren, I don't want any of you to be described that way by our God. To reach a point in your life where God's definition of you would be you don't possess eternal life because you have hatred, animosity toward a brother or a sister in Christ, and you're unwilling to resolve it. When Christians don't love their brethren, it may be an indication that a true conversion never really occurred. That they became Christians in name only. You know, we stress baptism, and we rightly should. And we stress repentance, and we rightly should. But when a person goes under the water in baptism and comes up, that individual is to die to an old life and to rise to walk in a newness of life. And there should be a conversion that takes place that says, I now want to honor God, and I want to love my brethren, and I want to serve Him faithfully. And if all that person has done is, as we have sometimes said, gotten wet, there was no true conversion. There was no desire. They have viewed their baptism as nothing more than an initiation into some sort of group. And that's not what baptism is all about. That's not what conversion is all about. Conversion is a change of life. It is a statement to God that I want to live for you and honor you with the life that you give me. So a person who is unwilling to love their brethren may never have been truly converted in the first place. They've just gone through the motions. But then it may be that that person who does not love the brethren has been truly converted, but something else is going on. It may be that that individual is still a babe in Christ, that they haven't matured to the point of understanding the need to love and to practice that love and to live that love out in their lives. There were some rifts in the church at Corinth, so much so that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, said, Brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. He said, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were yet unable to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, but you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? You see, strife, jealousy between Christians indicates that maturity is not taking place, that a person is not growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There may have been true conversion. There may have been an initial desire to honor God, but somewhere along the line, the growth got stunted, and there was no progress in the faith, so that that individual is still a babe in Christ. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter when we were converted or how long ago we obeyed the gospel. It may have been 20, 30 years ago, but if we're still where we were, we're babes. And then it may be that a person was truly converted, but then something else happened. It's what the Hebrew writer describes in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, so long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. It may be that that person did truly become a Christian. There was true conversion that took place. But somewhere along the line, what has begun to happen in that individual's life is sin has crept in and began to harden the heart. A song that Ray sometimes leads us in talks about, My heart is hard. It talks about it being cold. And there are Christians that this happens to. It may not happen to you. You may say, That's not me. But there are Christians it does happen to. Otherwise, the Hebrew writer would not talk about it. And so it's important for us to sing that song to make us realize from time to time that that happens to people. And we need to encourage them not to slip into that. Not to become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, because sin can be deceitful and make us think that we're doing what we ought to do. We're putting people in their place, when really what we're doing is not loving the brethren as our Lord wants us to love the brethren. In any circumstance, regardless of whether a conversion did not take place, or whether a true conversion didn't take place, or whether a conversion took place but that person's still a babe in Christ, or that person's becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, it's not what God wants for any one of us. It's not what He wants for His church, the people for whom His Son shed His blood. There are two compelling reasons that John gives us here tonight for why we should love one another. Reason number one is it distinguishes us as the children of God. And reason number two, it signifies that we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. And John will have more to say about this as we work our way through this letter. But I want to ask you, are you a true child of God? Are you loving the brethren? Because if you don't love the brethren, he says you've not passed out of death into life. You're more like Cain than you are like Abel. And as the Hebrew writer wrote so long ago, we need to impress this point upon our minds. Let brotherly love continue. It's the only way the church is ever going to be what the Lord intended the church to be. It's when we love one another in a way that sets us apart from everything else around us. No greater love has this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Those are Jesus' words. Are you loving others as he loves you? And are you showing your love for him by living for him? If you've not yet put on Christ in obedient faith, if you've not confessed the name of Jesus, if you've not turned from sin, why not do it tonight? Why put it off any longer? Or maybe you need our prayers because you've not been a loving individual. And you know that you're abiding at death's door. And you don't want to remain there. If you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.